Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, some day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say Yah's son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelites. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
All praises to the mighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. And welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show here on blogtalkradio.com/House of Israel ATL. I'm your host, Isha Yisrael of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, bringing you the Black Plight Radio Show. So all honor and praises belong unto Yahweh for allowing us to be here again this evening. And this evening we're going to magnify the mighty Yah, the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, and the only Holy One of Israel and the world. And we're going to glorify the Most High, and we're going to speak about, are we real or are you real? Do we have the signs of our walk? If you're an Israelite, what are the signs that show that you are walking in the ways of the Mighty One? If you're a Christian, what are your signs? What does your book say are the signs that we would know that you are saved? We're going to speak about these things and more, whatever you want to speak about also. The number is 323-443-7418. But before we get into our topic, we're going to bring you a song by Bathia called Patiently.
Patiently, I'm going to wait. Patiently,
Hallelujah. All praises to the mighty one of Yahakov, whose name is Yahweh. Praise the mighty Yahweh. Back on the Black Plight Radio Show. Again, I'm your host, Isha Yisrael. And tonight, or this evening, at the moment, we are going to bring you a show to see how we can better magnify the Almighty and understand the differences between the other religions. But before I go any further, I would like to honor and respect my elders of the House of Israel, especially my mentor, my teacher, my more, Elisha Yisrael, the prophet of Yahweh, the man Elohim, who was my teacher, who taught me for years the truth of the Most High, His laws, His statutes, His judgments, and commandments. I praise Yahweh that I was able to stand in the presence of one of His great servants. Hallelujah. And I also like to give honor and respect to all my other teachers, the Morays of the House of Israel, around the country, in Atlanta, Georgia, Moray Elkanah, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Moray Ishaya. In Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, Moray Yosef and the late Moray Herman Taylor. And in Jacksonville, Florida, Moray Yehoshua. So I praise Yahweh that I'm able to even know these brothers and that we serve Yahweh together. And you'll be able to see all of us and we'll be able to see all of you very shortly at the conference founded by Moray Elisha Israel, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, which will be held August 1st through the 4th this year in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Quality Hotel Inn and Conference Center, 1551 Phoenix Boulevard. And that conference is going to be magnificent because it is the 20th annual Sacred Laws Conference. And we hope to see you there. You can register right now for just $40 by going to www.houseofyisraelatl.org. That's House of YISRAEL.ATL.ORG. That's House of Israel ATL.ORG. And you can purchase your registration fee right now and be prepared and call the Quality Inn and Hotel and Conference Center to reserve your hotel room. And the hotel rooms are just $59.99 a night. And you can't beat that price, especially in the summertime, especially for this conference. It's going to be very, very beautiful. And the number to the hotel is 770-996-4321. So make it a plan, make it a trip, make it a vacation, because it's going to be great. Hallelujah. Next, for the past 2 weeks here on the Black Plight Radio Show, the Almighty Yahweh has been very generous to us, and he allowed us to be able to speak to two different ministers from two different religions, one from the Christian persuasion. We dealt with a brother named Jerome, and he claimed he was a prophet. And that was a good discussion that we had with the brother. We were able to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh only deals with Israel and those that know that they're Israel and those that magnify his word, and that prophecy does not come by anybody dealing with a false deity. Because these claims that Christ is the Savior are unsubstantiated. And then last week, to our good fortune, we dealt with Islam. And we dealt with an imam, a Muslim minister out of the Bronx. His name was Brother Bashir. And we discussed, was Islam the truth or was Israel the truth? And of course, because it says in Proverbs, the 21st chapter. See what it states here in the 30th verse. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. And time in and time out, when we have guests on our show that do not believe and confirm the words of Yah, they do not have any wisdom or counsel to display. And we hope that they are able to realize this and understand that Yah's word is the truth. But the Almighty said, whether they hear or whether they forbear, you shall tell them my words. And that's what we do. So sometimes they're hard-headed and they don't want to see the truth. But the Almighty said, regardless of what they do, we have to tell them. And we're our brother's keeper, so we have to let them know if they're in error. But this evening, we're going to deal with, are we real? Are we really exemplifying the ways of our faiths? There are signs you know, that the various walks of faith have out there for us. For instance, if you're a Christian, the Christian book in the New Testament, the Christian book called the New Testament, in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, we go there to the 15th verse. It states here, "And he said to them," this is the Christ of the New Testament speaking, after he supposedly came back from the dead, "And he said to them, go you into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, this is very important, because if you're real, if you're really a Christian, if you're a devout, if you call yourself a devout Christian, one that serves Christ to the fullest extent, that has the faith, that's been saved, that's been baptized, then you should have these signs. Because if you don't believe, but you're baptized, how are you going to be saved? He said in verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized." He did not say he that believes or is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now here's a sign. In my name, the name of Christ, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So I ask to the listening audience, and if you serve and fear Yahweh, then, and you know somebody, or you know a minister, or if you're listening and you don't want to say something, but you know your minister, you know your minister got to know how to deal with this, call them up now and ask them to call 323-443-7418, or go to the website, blogtalkradio.com/houseofisraelATL, and tell them to call in and let us know if they do these signs follow them. Do they cast out devils? Now, how do you cast out a devil with a devil is what I would like to know. Since the Christ of the New Testament is a devil. They always going around saying the white man is the devil. Well, truthfully, the white man on the cross is the devil. The white man walking around is the beast. The white man on the cross is the devil. Now, this devil said that you will cast out devils if you're baptized and you believe. I want to know how you're casting out devils with devils. They shall speak with new tongues. What new tongues do these people speak with? What new tongues? Because in Acts, the second chapter, they try to say that this is a sign, but These were cloven tongues. They weren't new tongues. Let's look at that. Acts the second chapter. Let's see here. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues, like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost now. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is other tongues that they're speaking with. They got cloven tongues. They got other tongues. I don't see a new tongue. And the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? These weren't new tongues. They were speaking in the tongues of the other nations where they came from. Other tongues. In the church, is that a sign when you hear people talking with tongues? Is that a sign? Well, what does your own book say about these tongues? Because if it's a sign, then what is it doing for you? I would like to know that. Is this a sign that you go by? Everybody, why is only one denomination using tongues and not all the denominations using tongues? He didn't say that one denomination is going to be the tongue speakers and another one person is going to have the sign. He said that these, in Mark, the 16th chapter, the 17th verse, these signs shall follow them. These signs, not one of the other signs, but these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? Shall they speak with new tongues? Look at the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. See what it says here. In the 4th verse, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesize, for greater is he that prophesies than that he that speaks with tongues. What? Except that he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Paul said, that sign ain't that great. Now, the signs that the Christ in the New Testament told you, he said that you're going to cast out devils in his name, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, how does Paul lower something that his so-called Lord and Savior said was great? He said it's greater to prophesy. Where did the Christ in the New Testament say that's going to be a sign? But he said it's greater to prophesy than speak with tongues. And he said if you speak in unknown tongues, you're not helping anybody but yourself. Nobody but yourself. Well, let's see what else he says in verse 14 of this chapter. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is how Paul feels about these tongues? I thought Paul was JC's biggest champion. Look what he says in verse 10. All you people out there in the churches that blah, 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 doing all that. What are you saying? You're saying if you don't interpret this, then what are you doing? How are you helping anybody? Verse 10 is say there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaks as a barbarian, and he that speaks shall be a barbarian to me. So basically, if you're speaking in these tongues, you're sounding like barbarians because nobody knows what you're saying. So Paul didn't think about tongues that highly. But JC says you're going to speak in new tongues. Who's speaking in new tongues? And can you interpret that? So you could do like Paul said, edify the church. Do you believe this? Are you real? Do you follow this? Then it says back in Mark the 16th chapter, they shall take up serpents. If you are baptized and believe, you should take up serpents. Like rattlesnakes and cobras, pythons, corn snakes, and black mambas. Deadly serpents that can kill you with a bite or with one spit of venom. You know, recently, a Christian minister in, I think, Tennessee or Kentucky did that, like his father. And like his father, he died from the snake. He was baptized. He believed, obviously, because he started picking up snakes. But he died. And then, if they drink any deadly thing. So, I propose that somebody that believes and is baptized, they give me a call at 513-237-5911. And you will be one of our very first guests on our new TV program that will be coming on air and YouTube very soon. And you can be one of our very first guests, and you can drink a deadly thing. And what does it say? It shall not hurt them. I want to see if we are going to do this. Are you real about what you do? Because if you are, then you should have no problem going on international broadcast media and drinking a deadly thing and say, look, I'm not hurt. And we also are going to take our cameras and follow you into the closest children's hospital so you can lay hands on the sick children, the ones that have the real bad diseases, the real terrible cancers, the ones that are stricken with AIDS from the womb, the ones that just never had a chance, and their children, and they won't see nothing except the four walls of the hospital and the glass containment of the incubator. And we want you to go lay hands on them so they will recover. If these are your signs. And if you've done this, then be bold and let us know what's happened. And I present it to you in this fashion because these signs are bogus. Because these signs are not happening. If people really believe these signs, you wouldn't have sick people on the earth. You wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have these televangelists in the middle of the night selling this garbage, talking about we touch the cloth and it'll take your bills away, and all this other foolishness. But if you really believe what your book says, are you doing that? Are you walking like that? Here's another thing I want our people to hear. Because if you are a Christian and you really don't know that this is in your book, maybe it's time for you to consider what's in your book so you can test it out. Now, I am going to tell you right now, I do not advocate for you to drink a deadly thing. I only make that appeal to ministers that are responsible, should be. They're pillars, so-called, of the community. They're your leaders. So let them lead the way and show you that this deadly thing is not going to hurt you. But my disclaimer is, do not try that at home. I don't want nobody calling me up talking about they drank a deadly thing because I dared them. I don't dare you to drink a deadly thing. I'm not the Christ in the New Testament. See, that's something you can't live by, to drink a deadly thing. You can't live by that. And let me show you what the Almighty Yahweh said in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. I'll start around the 22nd verse. Now, if anybody has ever been poisoned and they're a Christian, meaning they drank something like alcohol, you know, and became alcohol poisoned to the point where they had their stomach pumped, or they were so drunk that they was vomiting the rest of the night or day, whatever time you drank it, that you couldn't wake up the next day without your head hurting and your body hurting. You know, that's called being alcohol poisoned. And if you drink too much of it, you can die. So it becomes deadly. So if any of our listeners have ever gotten drunk to the point of poisoning, you've been hurt by this alcohol. But if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have been hurt by this alcohol. That's just one example. Is there any Christians? There might be some Christians out there that know another Christian that was poisoned with cyanide or poisoned with arsenic. Don't you know Kool-Aid is a poison? Kool-Aid is a poison, and it retards your natural enzymes in your small intestines, and it hurts you to the point where you can't even stay up and think straight, and your emotions start to become discombobulated. It's hurting you physically and mentally. But if you're a Christian, and you can die from drinking too much Kool-Aid, and if you're a Christian, you're getting hurt, but you shouldn't be getting hurt. Okay? Just a couple of examples that we don't think about often. We just want to go straight to the, you know, drink some acid or some fire. But let's go with the things that they give you every day, and they're hurting you every day with them. And the Almighty said this in Ezekiel 20 and 22. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand to them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths. And their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes and judgments, statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they could not or should not live. You should not live by these judgments. Drink something deadly. You'll be okay. And when they start drinking the deadly stuff, they're dying of diabetes and cancer, liver, cirrhosis, psoriasis. You know what I'm talking about. This is deadly. And they're being hurt. The Almighty said he would do this to you. Because you do it, and we do it to ourselves. Now look in Matthew, the 19th chapter. And let's read what the Christ in the New Testament told the young man that was rich in verse 20. The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" JC said to him, "If you will be perfect." Now here's the words of your so-called Lord and Savior. "If you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then JC said to his disciples, "Verily, I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Well, all those rich Christians out there better come knock on my door and give it up. Just drop the jewels, the cars, the cash, the CD accounts, the stocks and bonds, them Christians that's winning them lottery tickets, give them to me. I'll divvy them out very righteously to my brothers and sisters, and we'll take the riches. Because you're supposed to give them up, according to the Christ of the New Testament. You're so rich. You want to follow him, give up everything you have and follow him. And I'll politely collect your goods. What else? Now, do you do that? Before I go on to the next thing, do you do that? All right. We want to know. And of course, I doubt anybody's going to call and attempt to defend this because they know they're not doing these things. But don't think I only got something for the Christians. Look here in Luke, the 14th chapter, because Christ wants to tell you how you should follow him. And he gives you some more instruction on how to follow him. In Luke, the 14th chapter, the 26th verse. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You cannot be a follower of the Christ in the New Testament if you love your community. So therefore, if you're a follower of Christ, you must be a hater of your brothers and sisters, your parents, your wives, and your children, and yourself. Now, I can say a lot of our people do follow that precept. A lot of our people follow the precept of hating each other. That's one of the ones they made sure we took to the max. But if you've never heard this before, you should be scratching your head, wondering why with such things be told to do of you. Well, because go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter. And we'll see here what the Almighty admonished us for. And this is why a lot of our people are in the situation that we're in. And to the people that say they fear Yahweh and serve Him, let's make sure we're doing this. Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter, the 26th verse states here, cursed. Cursed. It means damned. Great evil has been bestowed upon you. You're in a bad way. Be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Well, amen. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. You got to do all the words of the law. Do them. Are we doing the law? Are we doing all the words of the law? Are we doing them? What do you mean, Isha? What I mean is Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi chapter 3. Let's see what it says here. Sixth verse. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Yaakov are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? The Almighty has admonished us and said, return, and I'll return to you. And I am being one of the Almighty's servants, and I am crying aloud, and I will not spare, and I am saying, return to Yahweh. But you might ask, how do I exactly do that? Like the verse 7 just stated. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. True Israel knows, should know, that tithes and offerings given unto the Creator is a way the Most High said you have to return to Him. Because if you don't, you're robbing Him. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole nation. The whole nation has robbed the Almighty. That means we all have to do our part and return to the Almighty and pay our tithes and offerings. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is what will happen when you take your tithes into the storehouse. So your congregation, you should have a storehouse. You should have a place somewhere to store the tithes and offerings of the Creator. That's money, food, your substance. And then he said, and I will rebuke the devourer. He'll rebuke Babylon for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith Yahweh of hosts. And this is what will happen when we return to Most High. He'll return to us, return us to our land, and this is what we'll be called. But we have to return to him. He said you won't have room enough to receive it. Are you doing this? Are we doing this? Now, the Christian minister, he loves to go here and says, do this. Pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. Well, why were they teaching this a minute ago in Galatians, the third chapter, the 11th verse? But no man, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Elohim. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Says you're not justified. Paul said this. You're not justified if you do the law. But Yahweh said do the law. Pay your tithes and offerings. That's the law. But Paul said that's not the law. Paul also said, in verse 21 of Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians, the third chapter. Let's start in verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serves the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. What did he just say? He basically, with his double talk, let you know that the law was only there because people was being bad. And the law was only until this so-called seed of promise came. And the law doesn't give life. Well, let's hold that. Let's hold that. And go to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy 32. And if you want to make a comment or if you have a question, we'll be getting to our callers very soon. The number is 323-443-7418. Call us up with your comments and questions. And if you're on the line, press 1. Deuteronomy 32. We're going to verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all the words to Israel. And he said to them, set your hearts to all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which ye knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, doth man live. Hallelujah. So Paul is a bold-faced, low-down, dirty liar in Galatians, the third chapter, in the 21st verse, where he said, "For if there had been given a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law." And go to Deuteronomy, where I want to go. The 12th chapter. Let's see more evidence of this fool being a liar. Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 6. The sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, 24th verse. It states, "And Yahweh do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he commanded us." Hallelujah. Paul is a liar. So don't let the Christian ministers tell you that you got to pay tithes and then tell you the law is done away with. But my brothers and sisters, if you keep the law, pay your tithes. If you keep the laws of the Most High, not only that, what about the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day, when does it start? Are we really keeping the Sabbath day? People tell us the Sabbath day begins in the evening. Well, if you really keep the Sabbath day, if you really serving Yahweh, are you doing what the Almighty said? Look what the Almighty said in Exodus the 16th chapter. Just look what it says here. Are we doing this? In Exodus 16 and 23, "And he said to them, this is that which Yahweh hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath to Yahweh." Tomorrow. Now he's talking to them on one part of the day, and he's saying tomorrow, the next day, the next morning. That's what tomorrow means. The next morning is the rest of the holy Shabbat unto Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that you will seed, and which remains over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning, which is tomorrow. And what is the same verse 24? "And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses, as Moses bid, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today." Today. They laid it up to the morning. Moses said, eat that today, because the morning is the next day, not the evening. "Eat that today, for today is the Shabbat to Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it in, but on the seventh day, which is the Shabbat, in it there shall be none." Now, why are we keeping the Sabbath in the evening? It is not tomorrow in the evening. You can't bake something earlier today and then say it's the next day now. And it's the same sun. It's the same sun. How do you wake up in the morning time and the sun goes from one part of the sky, and when it gets to the lower part of the sky, at the end of the day, you saying that's a new day? How do you do that? It's the same cycles of the sun. It's not even changed. There hasn't been a turn. I don't even understand how our people can do this after we've been taught the truth. But I do understand why, because we're not listening. We're not observing. Look what it says in Psalms 113. In verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised. How do you call that a new day? And it said from the rising to the going down, from when it comes up to when it goes down, we praise the Most High. Not from the going down to the going down. But yet they'll say that Isha is crazy. He's just trying to be like that Elisha and them other Morays. Well, I'll be that then. Because that's the right thing. And I have no problem saying it's the right thing. Why? Because of Proverbs 28 and 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. If you're right, you have no problem stating it. And we're right because Yahweh said it. And if Yahweh said it, you can stamp on it. You can depend on that. Put your seal on that. Yahweh said it. He said that tomorrow is the Sabbath. Not this evening, not right now, not at night, not at 12 a.m., but tomorrow when the sun rises. If you really say you serve and fear the Almighty Yahweh, then are you keeping the Sabbath when you should? If you're a Christian, are you bearing these signs? No, they're not bearing these signs because these signs will kill you. And that's how we know you're an Israelite, because the Almighty said he would do that to you, give you statutes that you couldn't live by. Now, if you fear Yah, and if you want to learn how to fear Yahweh, how do we learn how to fear Yahweh? Another thing the Almighty told us to do. If you want to learn how to fear the Most High, look what he says here in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Starting at the, 22nd verse, he says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year, and ye shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, and of your firstlings, of your herds, and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always." That's how you learn how to fear the Almighty. Something we should be doing. Learning how to fear the Most High. What are some other things that'll go with you if you learn how to fear Yah and walk in his ways? What is going to happen? Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Let's read here a little bit, because it's time for us to go to our callers. If anybody wants to make a comment, press 1. Or if you have a question, you can press 1. If anybody has any rebuttals, 323-443-7418. Deuteronomy 28th chapter. It states here, in verse 9, this is if you do his laws. Verse 8, I'll start at. "Yahweh shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land where Yahweh the Elohim gives you. Yahweh shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you." Now, are they afraid of you, Jack Smith and Jill Robinson? Are they afraid of you, Ricky Brown? Are they afraid of you? I don't think so. They're not afraid of us. They're not. But if we walk in his ways, we'll be called by his name. Look what else will follow us in this day and age. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh that made you, and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant in ye Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am Yahweh's. And another shall say, call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe himself with his hand to Yahweh and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. These are signs that will follow us when we start walking in the ways of Yahweh. He didn't say nothing crazy like you gonna drink goblin goo and be strong. He didn't say nothing out of this world, like you're going to be able to just touch everybody and they'll be healed. He didn't say nothing like that, because the Almighty is a realist and he deals with reality. He's not going to have you drink poison because it's unhealthy. He's used some understanding. But he said, you're going to be called by his name, and the people shall see it. Everything you do will prosper. And that's the truth. I'm going to go to our caller, 469 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. See, I got a couple quick questions.
Yes.
I know in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about worshiping the gods of wood and stone. And
yes.
I know how the god of stone applies to Christianity. Because the church is built on a rock and a stone. But how does the wood, see, apply to Israel?
Well, the stone applies to both Christianity and Islam, because even people in the Muslim faith, they worship a big rock called the Kaaba stone in Mecca. And they face that city and bow to that rock, and they make a pilgrimage, and they throw stones at that stone and bow to it. So they worship the stone also. And the wood is a cross. The cross, the Christianity worships on a cross of wood. So that also applies to Christianity. They both, the word A-L-L-A-H means wood in Hebrew. And they both worship wood and stone, both religions.
Oh, okay. So that's where I was getting confused, because I heard someone say that Pala and wood go together. So I was thinking that, that wood would be Islam and then stone would be Christianity. But you said that they're both pertaining to the stone, Christianity and Islam.
Yes, sir. Both of those religions worship wood and stone figurines.
Oh, okay. That's what I want to find out, because I was kind of confused on it.
No problem. Hallelujah.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call. Praise Yahweh. Shalom. Going to our next caller, 828 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yahweh, brother. How you doing?
Praise the mighty Yahweh, brother. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just want to call and give all praises and glory to Yahweh and Yahweh alone, and magnify his name by saying Yahweh is the only Savior, the only Redeemer that can save our people. No man No religion can save our people, only Yahweh. And we have to turn back to his laws. I just wanted to say that. So praise the mighty Yahweh. And everybody have a good Shabbat day tomorrow. Shalom.
Hallelujah, brother. Thank you for your call. And Yah is the only one. Hallelujah. And that was one of the scriptures I was going to go to. Isaiah 43. And we're going to get there in a moment. Because that's giving us another indicator of who serves Yahweh and who doesn't. So let's go to Isaiah 43, verse 9. If anybody else would like to make a comment or has a question, the number is 323-443-7418. Or if you're already on the phone line, you can press 1. Isaiah 43, verse 9 says, "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth." See, that's a call that I give out to the people, that the Almighty said, and I just repeat it. Say, hey, bring forth your witnesses. Let's see what you got. Verse 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me." This is what a servant of Yahweh witnesses to. If you are a true servant of the Almighty Father, you say you're a servant of the Father. You say you worship the Father. You say Yahweh is your creator. But then you go off and tell us or teach that Yeshua is the Savior. You're not witnessing to this. Or say somebody else is the Savior. We're not witnessing to that. But the true servants, like Christ in the New Testament said, let's see what he said. Let's see if our Christian and Messianic brothers and sisters agree with this. Satan John, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse, what does it say here? Start at verse 21. JC saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He said, you worship what you know not what. He said, you don't know what you're worshiping. You're a Protestant. You're a Catholic. You're a Seventh Day Adventist. You're a Hebrew Pentecostal. You're a Lutheran or a Baptist, Episcopalian, whichever. You don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship. This is the Christ in the New Testament. For salvation is of the Yehudadim, the Jews. Yehudadim. The children of Israel. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, not Christ, not Muhammad, not the Mahdi, not A-L-L-A-H, not Malachi York. They're not worshiping anybody else. They're not worshiping Haile Selassie. They're not worshiping this YBY guy from Florida. They're not worshiping anybody else. Christ said they're not worshiping even him, but they're worshiping the Father. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, he didn't say he, but the Father. He didn't say Christ. He didn't say J-E-S-U-S. He didn't say Yeshua. He said the Father seeks such to worship him. That's what the Christ in the New Testament said. He was witnessing that Yahweh was the Father. As the Almighty says in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I am Yahweh. Besides me, there is no Savior. There's no one else that will save us. But we can't have our people witnessing this because they're too busy witnessing to Jehovah in the Christ of the New Testament. Somebody and people Yahweh never spoke of. They'll never prove it to us. They'll never show one scripture where Yahweh mentioned this Christ out of his mouth. The Almighty never spoke of Muhammad from the Quran. He never gave any words to these people that have formulated this book, the Quran. His name is not mentioned in the Quran. His laws are rejected in the Quran. The Almighty's laws are not upheld in the Quran. The Almighty's people are rejected in the Quran. You will never find the deity of the Quran acknowledging that his hair is like wool, his people are black. What you will see in the Quran is them calling you niggers, saying that the blacks will not make it. The black faces, they won't make it. You won't see anything that will uplift the black man and woman that has been oppressed in this terrible, deplorable situation that we're in. The Quran does not address you at all. The Quran justifies beating women. The Quran justifies slavery and prostitution. The New Testament justifies the ill treatment of slaves and the abuse of slaves, and it commands slaves to fear their slave masters. Do you follow that also, my people that believe in the Christ of the New Testament? When you go to work, now I work with a lot of Christians. In various jobs I've worked with a lot of Christians. And this is what the New Testament commands you. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, around the 5th verse, it states, servants. Now, if you got a job and you are not the owner and controller of this company, you are a servant. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as to Christ. They just told you to serve your boss with a perfect heart and to fear and tremble at him, like you would to the person you're supposed to be worshiping. So not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, I've worked with various different Christians in various different jobs, and they didn't do this. They talk bad about the boss. They have did the work, but when the boss came around, they doing the work. They was doing eye service. They were being men pleasers. But if you're a Christian, do you fear your boss like you fear Christ? Like you're doing the will of God? the Almighty said this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th or the 30th chapter. He said this in Deuteronomy, verse 19, I'll start, chapter 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both ye and your seed may live, that you may love Yahweh your Elohim, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling unto him. He didn't say cleave unto your boss. How do you cling unto the Most High, but then when you go to work, you got to serve your boss with all fear and trembling? Look here in Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah 66. See, that's that slave religion that teaches you to do that. Isaiah 66, I'm going to look here in verse 2, states, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word, saith Yahweh. Not trembles at boss word. And the last scripture is Psalms 2. Let's see how David instructed us to serve Yah. Psalms 2, verse 11. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. He didn't say nothing about serve your boss with fear and trembling. But on the contrary, he says serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's how we, servants of Yahweh, should behave. Not like the Christian book tells you or the Islamic book tells you to just beat your slaves and don't beat your wife like you would beat your slave, and you could have sex with your slaves, and slaves need to just take your whoopings and serve your masters with all fear and trembling. If you've never saw these things in your book before, you should be considering and wondering, is this really what my minister believes and expects us to do? I don't see him giving up all his money. He come in here with Rolexes and BMWs and Mercedes. His house is huge. We just bought him a new Bentley. Give that Bentley to me and my brothers and sisters. You don't want it? If you follow in this book, we'll take it. Most I never told us not to be rich. You say you do good, you'll be rich. Say, Yahweh, it is he who gives you the power to have wealth. The Almighty wants you to get money, wants you to be paid. But the Christian book tells you give it all up. It's because you're not going to be able to live by that. And they know it. That's why you don't do it. It's just a game. Just a game. If anybody else has any comments or questions, you have a few more minutes left while I show you this last scripture on what servants of the true and living will do. If you go to the book of Zechariah, the third chapter, the 13th verse, you're a true servant of the Most High, then this is something you should be doing. I mean, Zephaniah, the third chapter, the third verse, 13th verse. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13 states, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. That means we're not going to return to our father's idols, nor speak lies. We're not going to say the Lord's Day is on Sunday, or the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath day, or the rest day is on Friday. We're not going to speak lies and say that A-L-L-A-H is the Most High. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. The remnant of Israel, the ones that's going to be saved, they're not going to tell you the law's done away with and then tell you to pay tithe. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Hallelujah. So if we're going to be true, we're going to be true. As Yahweh said, we should be true. So let's be real. If you've never knew that your book was full of so much corruption, I hope you know now, and I pray that Yahweh opens your eyes to be able to be released from the treachery of that horrible teaching. As Maura Alicia said, if they don't treat you right, they're not going to teach you right. And these people are enemies, are slave masters, are captors, are oppressors. Our false educators have not taught us correct at all. All praises to the mighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. Now, just to make some reminder announcements, our conference is becoming very close. The restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, 20th Annual Conference, being held in Atlanta, Georgia, 1551 Phoenix Boulevard, Quality Hotel Inn and Conference Center, August 1st through the 4th. All the houses of Israel from around the country will be there. So you should be there. We're going to have great, great, great activities, great teachings by the great mores of this conference, and great food by the great cooks of HOI. We will not be eating the king's meat, not the king's meat, not the king's meat. We will be eating some good food. 1551 Phoenix Boulevard, August 1st through the 4th, Quality Inn and Conference Center. And the fee is only $40. Go to www.houseofisraelatl.org and you'll see the link right there on the home page with the flyer that lets you know it's the conference 20th annual, founded by the man of Elohim, Moray Alicia Yisrael. I want to see everybody that calls into the show there. I hope to see you there, because some of you I haven't met yet face to face, like my brother from New Orleans or Louisiana. He calls in all the time. I hope you get there. I want to see you face to face. I want to see all my brothers and sisters there at this beautiful conference. Also, listen to Sabbath class if you don't have a class to go to in your respective city. www.houseofisraelatl.org. Have live Sabbath broadcasts going on every Sabbath day beginning at 2 p.m. That's the House of Israel of Atlanta. Moray Elkanah Ben Yisrael will be there teaching the words of Yahweh. And tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. will be another beautiful program, rebroadcasting of the great classic dynamic programs that Moray Alicia taught for years here in Cincinnati on 1230 The Buzz. Truth or Traditions will be airing tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Don't miss it. Don't miss the great teachings from Yah's great prophet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And also Sunday, 3:30 p.m., Moray Elkanah's radio broadcast, The True Word, will be live on air. The True Word, Moray Elkanah, at 3:30 this Sunday coming. And look out, very soon we will have the House of Israel Cincinnati will have a TV show on YouTube. So look out for that. And if you're in the Cincinnati area, very soon, y'all willing, you'll be able to go on your cable station and see some teachings of the Almighty. And the closer it comes, the more information we'll give you. But just look out for it. And for all the great works that the Almighty Yahweh has His servants doing. Until the next time we hear each other, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the House of Israel. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May Yahweh lift up His countenance unto thee and give thee peace. Hallelujah and shalom.
Where do I begin? Where the story ends? Surrounded by my friends, searching for my ends. Haters will contend to get close to him. But look out for the shark fins, deceivers with the dark lens. Heaters, yes, they mocked him, but I cannot blame them. His arm is not shortened, ear is not laddened. With the heavy burden, I have not heard him. This is why I'm hurting, sin is not working. The Satan steady lurking, praise Yah, never will I curse him. They like to see me fall, but this is they worst sin. Say, will he save? But remember Daniel in the light. Haman with the Persians, Maccabees and the Grecians, Yehudadeen and Americans, tearing down their teraphims. Quickly we'll be leaving, too many years grieving. Yahweh, Holy One, forgive us for the treason.
I know you wanna see me on a dark road. I know you wanna see me dead and gone. You wanna see me living life. Hate a while. I know you wanna see me dead and gone. You don't wanna see me holding on. You don't wanna see me standing strong, but I'm still pressing on.
I gotta move on, press on, so long, so wrong. But Yah's light, keep me strong. Yah's my strength, to Him I give thanks. Started out at the bottom, now I'm moving up in the ranks. Since thing got me walking the plank. I need a new heart before the ship sinks. Widen roads, race bridges, they bringing in the tanks. Everyone a terrorist, Charlie Dunn with the Franks. Rex 84 phase, hope Baney don't see the caves. This slope is so slippery and odds makes it no better. With all my iniquity, I don't know why haters, they envy me. Maybe cause my lavalistic calligraphy, but it's Yah's words, the message He given me. Y'all don't wanna drink of my cup, so what? Peep the liberation strut, trust in Yah, that's what's up.
I know you wanna see me on a dark road. I know you wanna see me dead and gone. You wanna see me living life. Hate a while. I know you wanna see me dead and gone. You don't wanna see me holding on. You don't wanna see me standing strong, but I'm still pressing on.